Welcome to Hoosier Ag This Week, as we share with you the top news stories impacting Indiana's farmers and the state's ag industry from this past week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and an incredible finish last weekend at the Indianapolis 500 as Joseph Newgarden became the first driver since Elio Castroneves more than 20 years ago to win back-to-back. Not only did Newgarden get to celebrate once again with milk and Indiana dairy producers in Victory Circle, but the race also gave Indiana soybean producers the chance to host soybean buyers from around the world out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You'll hear that story coming up. Also, Carl Setzer with Consus Ag Consulting will join us here shortly to review the grain markets from this past week. Also, you'll hear from Scott Nelson. He's the CEO of a brand new ag company called Make Hay, and he'll share the story of his new company and how Purdue University and Purdue Dial Ventures helped to launch Make Hay. But first, a fantastic finish to this week just might be getting you excited about some field work. But Hoosier Ag Today's chief meteorologist Ryan Martin says that Mother Nature has other plans. Sunshine today will be great for drying,
but we need about 3 to 4 more days of this to be able to get to do anything, and that's just not happening. Clouds increase on Saturday. Rains will be here from mid to late morning on through sunset. I think we pick up anywhere from 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch of moisture over 90% of Indiana. Yes, there'll be a few holes, but nobody's really missing this rain event for sure.
Ryan's Sunday forecast includes on-again, off-again clouds, but not much new precipitation.
Monday through Thursday of next week, we're very unsettled. We have pop-up activity that can happen pretty much every day. The Monday-Tuesday time frame, 40 to 50% coverage. Wednesday-Thursday, closer to 70-75% coverage. Combined over the four-day period, we've got 100% coverage of rains 1/2 to 2 inches. So not helpful there at all.
Next week, though, Martin says that cold Canadian air tries to push in over the Great Lakes region.
While this gives mostly just cloud cover to Indiana, we keep the moisture farther north in Michigan, it does limit how fast we dry. Without good sunshine, if we have lots of clouds around, and if we see cool temperatures, we're just not going to have evaporation be what it should and could be for early parts of June. So we're going to have to watch for that. I don't think, again, we add a lot of additional moisture in the Friday, Saturday, Sunday time frame, but we don't dry things very quick at all.
And we'll have much more of Ryan Martin's Indiana planting weather forecast coming up here a little later in the show. Well, it could revolutionize farming, but not in a good way. I'm talking about the EPA's proposed herbicide strategy to comply with the Endangered Species Act. Eric Pfeiffer joins us now with more, as well as a preview of his Indiana Ag Policy Podcast.
Kyle Kunkler, Director of Government Affairs for the American Soybean Association, joins us on the latest Indiana Ag Policy Podcast from Hoosier Ag Today to explain.
If this thing were implemented tomorrow, 80% of our farmers would be non-compliant, and about 50% of them would have a pretty significant implementation burden to bring their farm up to compliance, to continue to use the pesticides that they're currently using on their farm, to say nothing of new pesticides. I mean, we're looking at potentially billions upon billions of dollars in costs for implementing this thing.
The good news, it won't be implemented tomorrow, and the EPA is listening to farm groups like ASA. EPA wants more conservation practices, like using cover crops and reduced tillage, to be able to continue using pesticides. But it's going to take a lot more than just doing those practices, things that Kunkler says farmers aren't currently doing a lot of.
They could be things like riparian buffers, vegetative filter strips, grass waterways. To put those in on one field, maybe not a big deal. Extrapolate that. What's that going to cost to put those in across 1,000 acres? You know, 2,000, 5,000 acres, you're looking at, you know, significant, enormous cost for an individual farming operation. And then if everybody, you know, and all of their neighbors are trying to do this all at once, you're looking at, and this was a USDA estimate. They did an analysis for herbicide strategy. They said one crop, corn, in three states, Iowa, Illinois, and Nebraska, could cost those farmers as much as over $5 billion to implement this thing. And so we're talking about the risk of potentially putting a lot of farmers out of business.
Kunkler says if you're not in the know on this, you need to be. It's coming whether you like it or not. Learn more on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, available now at HoosierAgToday.com and wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
It's time now for Hoosier Ag Today's Farm Market Review. And for that, we bring in another chair and another microphone for Andy Eubank.
Thank you, CJ. We had several days of losing sessions to end the week. And that included Friday, corn, soybeans, and wheat all worked lower after a higher start. We'll have the settlements coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis, and I grabbed it in the middle of Friday trade from Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Carl, it looked like a short covering rally overnight for corn, beans, wheat as well, and that's how the daytime session started. However, mostly lower, actually, so the rally has fizzled out.
Yeah, we saw that little bit of short covering overnight, but you looked at the volume, very thin volume overnight, and gains really didn't get away. And then all of a sudden, we saw the outside markets, that U.S. dollar had been weaker, and then it started to firm through the session. And really, if I could pick one word to describe what we saw in today's session, it would be consolidation. And that's really what it is. We've seen big moves by the fund crowd when you look at their position. And now that they erased their short position, we thought they might go long. That gave us a rally. Actually starting to build back a few more short positions, and that's taken away the bullish momentum. The market really doesn't want to work lower from this spot. We just don't really want to work higher, and we need some fresh news. The next chance of that coming in would be in that June WASDE report that comes out on the 12th. After that, though, that acreage and stocks report at the end of June, trade already starting to really focus on that as we move forward for its next big source of fundamental information. Until then, we're going to rely on day-to-day weather forecasts and the planting reports and crop reports. And so far, there just isn't much there that would cause another leg up in the market.
And of course, a stellar export sales report one day delayed this week would help. However, in the range of expectations, but nothing exciting this morning from that report.
Yeah, really nothing there to get us excited at all. Okay numbers, but like you said, nothing that would really push us one direction or the other. And that's probably how we're going to be for a while. We're in the start of the export season to pick up a little bit on corn out of South America. And of course, they're still shipping a lot of soybeans out. So we got to lay a little bit further into the marketing year. I think we'll see those numbers perk up, but until we do, trade isn't going to buy too much into them.
Wheat has been the leader in large part due to issues in the Black Sea area. But that rally has fizzled out as well. Anything in particular that's caused the stall?
The weekly drought map showed us that, spring wheat in drought all the way down to 3% of the crop. The winter wheat crop, 25% in drought. But that's pretty much confined to western Kansas, where it's been dry all year. The rest of the wheat belt sitting pretty good, and we are starting to see a little bit more harvest pressure on that wheat complex.
Carl Setzer there, Consus Ag Consulting. Carl's number, 989-506-1587. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, down 2.5 cents. July corn, 446 and a quarter. September goes to 454, down 3.75. Deese losing 4 cents, 467. July beans, 1205, dipping 4.75. November down a nickel and a half at 1184.5, and lower in wheat with July 678.5 down 2.5 cents. Meats mixed, an even dollar lower. June live cattle 181.55. June lean hogs 94.35, up 37. That's the market review section of the weekend show. There's much more still to come. I'm Andy Eubank on Hoosier Ag This Week.
As a lending cooperative owned by farmers, Farm Credit Mid-America is committed to securing the future of rural communities and agriculture. That's why our customers have had access to agricultural loans, leases, and crop insurance from a lender who is focused on farmers' futures for over a century. Visit us online at fcma.com to experience what it's like to work with a lender who understands farmers' needs. Loans and leases subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
We've got a somewhat active weekend in terms of precipitation, but next week looks very active as well. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. Once again, looking at potential to finish up planting over parts of the state. A lot of areas have the crop in the ground. It looks really good. There are a few areas yet that really need a break in this precipitation, and I'm not going to be able to give it to you this time around. We are seeing hit and miss as scattered showers trying to develop across the Hoosier State for today. Eventually, by the time we get to mid and late afternoon, rain will be hitting almost every area of the state. At this point, I'm penciling in anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of moisture with coverage at 100% through tomorrow early morning. We do get a mostly dry Sunday, though, with a mix of clouds and sunshine, moisture pushing off to the east and moving away, and that dryness will extend into the first part of Monday as well. However, by Monday mid to late afternoon, we'll start to see some hit and miss scattered shower action starting to pop up over western parts of Indiana, and you'll see the precipitation coming. Take a look at a radar Monday morning, and Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, all will be seeing good rounds of moisture. It's headed our way. Then Monday overnight through Tuesday, through Wednesday, through Thursday, we are going to be seeing multiple waves of moisture come through. On any of those days by themselves, we may end up with coverage that's only 60% or so, maybe less than that, depending on the day. But combined in that Monday overnight through Thursday period, we are looking at 100% coverage across the Hoosier State with rain totals at 0.5 to 1.5 inches. So these are not just a piddly little rain events. It's going to put down some serious combined totals once we get done with the three-day stretch. The biggest rounds of moisture, in my opinion, come overnight Tuesday night into Wednesday and then in the early Thursday morning. But let's not split hairs on that. Combined, it is going to be a nice round of activity. So that takes us to late week. We get into Friday, and I think our pattern shifts and changes just a little bit. At this point, I'm going to keep us precipitation free for Friday, for Saturday, and for Sunday. And here's what's going on in that time frame. We actually have an upper level low that wants to sit in over the upper Midwest and Great Lakes and just rotate. So there's going to be plenty of clouds coming through Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. And I think from time to time, those clouds will try and get down into Indiana. But the moisture availability really seems to want to stay farther north at this point. So that's why I'm keeping the forecast dry. I think that there's moisture around. It just settles in somewhere else. However, one caveat, going from Saturday night the 8th through Sunday the 9th, we are going to be seeing, I think, a minor disturbance near the Ohio River Valley area. So keep an eye out for a spit or a sprinkle down that way. I'm Ryan Martin.
Attention farmers and equipment dealers. Are you tired of premature wear and tear plaguing your John Deere combine? Say goodbye to frequent replacements and hello to durability with meticulously crafted John Deere wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Eile uses superior metal materials to ensure extended wear for your combine. Their premium quality parts won't break the bank. Elevate your harvest season. Visit Eile Fabrications online. IHLEFabrications.com. Restore, protect, repair. Eile Fabrications.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and even though showers and a little bit of lightning delayed the start of last weekend's Indianapolis 500 by, what, about 4 hours or so, the race ended up being one of the most exciting in recent history, as Joseph Newgarden became only the sixth back-to-back winner of the greatest spectacle in racing. Eric Pfeiffer is back now as he shares audio from the Hoosier Ag Today archives of when Joseph Newgarden was first interviewed as a rookie.
Such a great tradition here, and you know, to be honored to be that guy in front of this amount of people around this racetrack would be incredible. I don't think you can really describe it.
Well, he can now. That's back-to-back Indy 500 champion Joseph Newgarden 12 years ago speaking with our Andy Eubank after receiving his fastest rookie award at the track from the American Dairy Association Indiana. Newgarden accepted his bottle of whole milk from Indiana dairy farmer Alex Neuenschwander, co-owner of New Hope Dairy in Bluffton, after passing Pato Award on the final lap of the rain-delayed Indy 500 Sunday night. 8 years after he did that interview with Andy, he joined us again at the Fastest Rookie Award presentation and was still in search of that first Indy 500 win, but his love of milk kept him close with the dairy folks. He and I shared this conversation then.
If you're running the Indianapolis 500, you think about winning the milk at the end of the day. Obviously, the BorgWarner Trophy, which is the famous trophy of the Indianapolis 500 with everybody's faces on it, that's a very cool deal. But, you know, the traditions are what make the Indy 500 what it is. And you automatically think of the winner drinking that jug of milk, which is so cool, you know, just to be able to have a sip of that, pour it all over you. The iconic images that have been created at the Indianapolis 500 because of that tradition.
Newgarden has great respect for Indiana and U.S. dairy farmers. Ahead of last year's win, he visited the dairy farm of Carrie Estes in Shelby County. Newgarden was then very happy to see Estes with that bottle of milk in Victory Circle at the end of last year's race.
The dairy farmers absolutely worked their butts off, you know, to try and produce the necessary milk that we all need in society to, you know, to keep our lives moving forward and to provide the nutritious milk that people drink every day or use every day in food. But obviously for us, you know, we're very thankful to that group for honoring this tradition of the 500 and providing, you know, that tasty milk at the end of the race if you're hopefully the lucky winner. So thanks to all of the dairy farmers in the United States and certainly the Dairy Association of Indiana.
Newgarden will receive $10,000 from the American Dairy Association Indiana in addition to his other winnings from the race. The Indiana Soybean Alliance and the U.S. Soybean Export Council hosted foreign soybean buyers last week in Indiana as part of their Soybean Oil Masters program. They toured a number of different places around Indiana, like Beck's Hybrids, the Indiana Corn and Soybean Innovation Center at Purdue, Corteva Agrisciences, Victory Field, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and they even took in the Indy 500. They also visited farms around the state, including Kevin Kelly's farm in Brookston.
It's always interesting when we have these groups come in. We learn about as much from them as they do from us. It helps put a face on American agriculture, maybe give them some confidence about where their products come from.
Kelly explains why it's so important to open his farm for tours like this.
The world of ag is competitive, and opportunities like this help us educate them as to why American soybeans maybe should be the preferred source for them and a trusted source as well.
There were a number of tour groups from all around the world across Indiana last week. The group on Kelly's farm was largely from China. Brazil has been their preferred buying destination of late. Kelly says they stuck to the basics in explaining why American soybeans are the best in the world.
We talked a little bit about our crop rotations, you know, that we're using cover crops, we're using minimum tillage since we own a majority of the land that we farm. Thankfully that we're able to make some decisions, long-term decisions for the health of the soil, which, you know, then results in, I would think, healthier crops, healthier soybeans, soybeans with better traits, better nutrient profile for them, and that we've been here for 100 years, 120 years, and you know, we're hopefully going to be here for quite a bit longer, so we're a reliable source for them, looking to be a good long-term partner.
You can learn more about the impact of the Soybean Oil Masters program at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Well, according to USDA, 73% of Indiana's corn and 69% of the state's soybeans are now planted. Andy Eubank is here now with a planting progress update from North Central Indiana.
Although later than what many would like, 2024 North Central Indiana corn and soybean crops are off to a good start. That's the assessment from Daniel Stauffer, field sales representative at Channel Seeds. Planting progress got a nice bump throughout the state and in his territory in the last week, even with plenty of rain events.
The positive out of all of this is that last week to 10 days, a lot of seed got in the ground here in North Central Indiana, and a lot of folks made some good progress getting seed in the ground and getting a good start with the temperatures we have.
Stauffer says farmers are concentrating on helping the crop get off to the best start possible. Weed control heads the list.
Getting nitrogen on in a timely manner, getting control of these weeds because they were 2 to 3 weeks ahead of our pace From a spray standpoint, a lot of growers were waiting on seed to get in the ground to keep their spray pace going. And so getting control of weeds. And then we have heard a few spots here and there of some insects. Some Asiatic beetles have been found in some fields that cause issue with seed in the ground, seedlings, as well as some armyworms has been found in some wheat fields. So just keeping an eye, watching your fields, scouting to see if any sort of pesticide application needs done.
More with Daniel Stauffer is in the Full Hat interview and Channel Seeds update at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
The total number of U.S. ag exports are sharply lower, and that's because China has recently pumped the brakes on buying a lot of our ag products. Sabrina Halverson has more.
I think the interesting headline story from this is China falls to our number three trading partner.
USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer says a drop in U.S. exports to China shows up significantly in the latest trade forecast from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's now buying less corn and soybeans from the U.S. and more from Brazil.
And we're seeing a lot of competition with Brazil into that Chinese market, and that is what is driving our bulk export values.
Exports are down $8.2 billion from last year at $170.5 billion this year.
The value of agricultural imports are rising, and then alternatively, export values continue to fall.
USDA has not lowered the forecast for ag exports, but has increased the projection for ag imports. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And coming up on Hoosier Ag This Week, you'll hear about a brand new ag company with Indiana connections, and they're looking for farmers and ag producers to share their stories. That story is on the way. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
Thank you again for joining us here on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and it's all about farmers and ag producers sharing their stories firsthand. And that's why there's a brand new digital platform called Make Hay. Joining us here today on Hoosier Ag Today is Scott Nelson. He's the CEO of Make Hay. And first of all, Scott, I'm curious how your new company got its start.
It all started actually in Indiana at Purdue University. Purdue University has a really reputable innovation fellowship program run by their Dial Ventures group. And what it is they bring in a couple cohorts a year. So a group of folks are selected and brought into this fellowship. And your job is to look at the agribusiness landscape at large, look at where the pain points are, the friction points are, and then ultimately come up with a digital solution for one of those pain points that you've identified. Now, identifying those pain points is part of the process, part of the fellowship. And during that, you're meeting with all sorts of farmers, growers, producers of all kinds. But then you're also meeting with lots of executives from very large, you know, leading ag food companies throughout the Midwest and beyond. So what that does is it gives you a lot of input into where are those problems that need solutions. So they really surround you with all sorts of really good insights and analysis and, again, input that helps you kind of guide your thinking as you develop, you know, what you developed. So that was the primary driver, this Dial Ventures group out of Purdue University that provided me the opportunity and the surrounding network to develop ultimately what we did in Make Hay.
My guest is Scott Nelson, the CEO of a new ag company called Make Hay. And Scott, tell us more about the digital platform and how it will ultimately benefit farmers and ag producers.
One of the big things is why we created Make Hay was generally around food transparency and this notion and idea and belief that consumers, now more than ever, want to know more about where their food comes from. This is a fact, right? There's data all around it. You know, one of the things that is really becoming more and more important for brands and companies to do in the world of social media and the entire digital ecosystem is authenticity reigns, okay? So raw, real, authentic content is where you're seeing a lot of the engagement. So where we can help brands, companies, subscribers to our platform, that is what we bring. So yes, it's getting to know the farmers and their stories, the stories that they want to tell, by the way, but it's really getting to know them very intimately, raw, real, very authentic. And so that's what we're bringing kind of to the play here, to have that larger stage to be heard at Make Hay.
And Scott, I understand that not only are you looking for that user-generated content from farmers and ag producers, but Make Hay will certainly provide monetary compensation for that content as well. Is that right?
Yeah. So one of the things we kept hearing was secondary income streams. You know, how do we line the farmers' pockets with a little bit more money? How do we help them in this realm of additional revenue, additional income stream? And so that is the primary driver of what we built Make Hay. It is to indeed provide that secondary income stream to farmers, to producers of all walks of life. So that is our core reason of why we exist. Our mission is to amplify and empower the voice of America's agricultural industry. And in doing so, that we want to make sure that not only can we kind of showcase our farmers and the ag industry at large, but we also want to be able to help them from a monetary standpoint. So ultimately what Make Hay does is we pay farmers for content that they create on their land.
And their website is gomakehay.com. And Scott, if farmers and ag producers want to get in touch with you to either start producing content or to share the online content they already have, how can they get a hold of you and your team?
So they can go to the website and request more information, and we will get back to them, or they could simply reach out to me at scott@gomakehay.com. We are in the early stages, but we are what we call somewhat advantaged and advanced. And what we mean by that is we are not your typical early stage startup per se, given the support and resources that we have from Purdue and Dial, but then also High Alpha Innovation out of Indianapolis, who is another backer of ours as well. And so those two institutions behind us, we've been able to accelerate quite quickly. So we already have a really amazing beta prototype of our software built in just under, 45 days. And we are progressing to a full-blown prototype quite quickly. So timing is right to start talking to Make Hay.
Once again, Scott Nelson, CEO of Make Hay, and that website, gomakehay.com. You can also find the link at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. And Scott, thank you for sharing the story of Make Hay with us here on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
And with that, we wrap up another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can download the podcast version. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com. For Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, Sabrina Halverson, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.